With great joy, we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that this hour that we have together will be a time of refreshing and blessing in the very presence of the living God.
Amen.
How we need the reviving, renewing, refreshing, the help and the blessing of the living God in our lives. Now, our verse continues, as the troubles of our day and time continue, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. This is the crying need of our hour as we seek the Lord, His help, and His blessing. So we have the joy of uniting our hearts in prayer together now to seek the face of God and the blessing of God as Pastor Kelly leads us in prayer.
Amen. Let's bow forward in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for our time to be together over the live stream. I pray that you'll bless us as we study your word and we sing your praise and we think on the good things of the Lord to encourage our heart. We pray for the pastors around our nation that you'll bless and encourage and help them this morning as they're preaching your word and ministering and being used of thee to minister to God's people. We pray for our president, our vice president, our governors, our mayors, and all those that need your divine wisdom in knowing how to lead our nation and lead our states and our towns and all the decisions that have to be made in the times that we're living in. Lord, I pray that you'll open their hearts to the gospel and we would see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and have the benefit of the scriptures and the benefit of the Holy Spirit and the guidance and direction and blessing of you in their lives. I pray that you'll open their hearts to the gospel and bring them to the Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll bless our doctors and our nurses and our first responders and our essential workers and our firefighters and our policemen and women. Bless them, Lord, as they're keeping us safe and as they're helping us with these wildfires in California. I pray that you'll just help and strengthen these brave men and women that are serving us and have a burden to serve. Now, Father, I pray that you'll bless us in this time as we worship you. We think of the Hoff family and the homegoing of Mark's dad on yesterday. I pray for Mark that you'll bless and encourage him and Lisa and his family during this time. We think of Brother Bill Hall and Pastor Dan that are battling with COVID and Sister Shirley Hall. I pray that you'll bring healing and strength and blessing to them and help them this morning as they're away from us. Now bless us as we study your word and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're looking forward to Pastor Pelletier being back with us.
Amen.
But in view of the need for further recovery, probably Pastor Kelly will be bringing the Bible study on Wednesday night again.
Amen.
And I think his subject is going to be on hope. Is that correct?
Amen.
Out of Peter's epistles. And this should be a real encouragement and a real blessing. But God is a great God.
Amen.
He's a good God. And one of my favorite texts, I got this from Brother Grant Rice years ago. God says to us, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And so needs are never time to panic. They're time to open our mouths wide before the Lord, to seek the Lord, to find out what God is trying to say to us, what He's trying to speak to us. And so let's trust the Lord, and He is going to provide these needs. It's always my prayer that God will wonderfully through our people, just in special ways. And again, I would challenge you as your pastor, ask God to provide through you something special that you don't have to give. It's exciting when tangibly God hears and answers our prayers. And when we see the hand of God visible in our lives, it is exciting to me. I've lived most of my life on the edge of financial disaster. But never without the divine supply from God, every need always being met in God's way and in God's time. So thank you for your faithfulness. Pray with me, and we're going to see what God will do, because He does hear and He does answer prayer. I'm so grateful for those that serve us in our live stream ministry. And so we will do that. We will do that. It's a rather lengthy scripture passage, if you will, please. Mm-hmm. Find your Bibles and read along. Now again, may I say it's tremendously important that God's Word fastens itself on our hearts and on our minds, because it will change the way we think. It will change our emotions. It will change our attitudes. The Word of God is powerful, but it must have entrance. So let's give it attention, and let's ask God to speak to our hearts directly and definitely. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40. We have read this recently, but the message today is on the greatness of God.
Amen.
And so we're going to read a rather lengthy passage, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse number 12 and going through the end of the chapter. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 12 through the end of the chapter.
Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighted the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that is not wrought. He seeketh him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 40.
And he's the only one that gives it to us. He's the only source for that perfect peace. I want to continue to focus on the subject we've been talking about, the greatness of God. This is an interesting day and age in which we are living. We have a virus that has gone around the world and is crippling all of the nations of the world. God has humbled mankind worldwide with a virus. It is absolutely amazing that man doesn't listen to the voice of God in other ways, but God has ways to get to us. And then in our own nation, we've had so much unrest. And as a pastor, I want to sound a word of warning to God's people not to get caught up in the turmoil of the day emotionally. The whole sports industry has been shut down because of a video covering less than 10% of an event. Without clear answers to vital, critical questions as to that event. May God help us as a nation if we will burn the whole country down over a 10% video of an event. This is dangerous. The Old Testament requires that there is a certain knowledge of truth. You need to reserve and hold judgment until all of the facts are in. And I hope you and I never get caught up in something like this. Because when you are guilty and your life is destroyed before anybody has a chance to answer, to ask or answer any questions, these are dangerous days. And not only, of course, were the businesses destroyed in Kenosha, but around the country there have been people killed and there have been people injured and property destroyed all over a video that covers less than 10% of the event. Absolutely amazing what's happened in our country. Let's, as believers, be discerning and patient, and let's let this thing work it out. I don't know who did what. I don't profess to know. But I do know we need to let the right people do the investigating. We need to have answers to the hard questions before we burn down cities and we shut down industries such as the sports industry in our country. Amazing, amazing, amazing the things we're doing in our nation. By the way, this is a product of getting away from the truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word. Caution is thrown to the wind. And we get going on our emotions, and the knowledge of God is not a stabilizing factor anymore in our nation. We need to get back to God. The greatness of God, and I want you to go back to 1 Chronicles 16, please. 1 Chronicles 16. And we want to begin reading again with verse 7. This text is an amazing text of Scripture. The greatness of our God. Now, if your God is a small God and your problems are big problems, you are in trouble. If your personal life is in deep waters and you have a small God, you are in trouble. If your marriage is in trouble and you have a small God, you are in deep trouble. I want to ask you, how great is your God, and do you really know Him? One cannot trust a God he does not know. And God is known through His Word. Let's read about Him in this text as David is bringing the ark back to a tent in Jerusalem. On that day, David delivered this first psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord, He is Yahweh our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And then verse 23, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. And again, that means His personal divine intervention in human life. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give, ascribe unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, let it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice in all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is, what? What's the next word? Good. His mercy endures forever. And so we look at the text of the message. Worship the Lord in the beauty, the shining splendor of holiness. Going on to page 2 of our notes, 58 times through the scriptures, God is titled as the Holy One. This title expresses God's moral perfection, his absolute separation from evil, his total transcendence above everything and everyone else. And God is in a class all his own. Then we went on page 3 of the notes. God is uniquely uncreated. Everything is the product of the creative word of his mouth. He is uniquely uncreated, and that means that everything else is subject to him and under his ultimate authority and control. Now, you and I, are the outcome of our circumstances in which we live today is not, I repeat, not determined by the circumstances. Do you have a physical problem? The ultimate outcome of your physical well-being is not determined by these circumstances. It's not determined by COVID. It's not determined by heart attacks and strokes and cancer. The ultimate outcome of life is in the hands of God Almighty. He is uniquely uncreated. Whatever the difficulty and the problem is in your life, it is not as big as God. God, by the word of his mouth, is the one that will determine the outcome of your life. And if I get along fairly, as far as I want to in this message today, you will find out that he is absolutely, utterly trustworthy, and nothing else and nobody else is. What a God he is. He's uniquely uncreated. He's uniquely infinite. He's measureless. He does not fit inside the universe. He's outside of time and space. He's not confined by, defined by. He is not limited by time or by space. He is eternally existent. And he exists outside of time and space. He is not limited by the limitations of a created universe. He is uniquely infinite in time. That is, he's eternal in space. That is, he fills everything. In fact, he overflows it. And he is infinite in his presence. He's present everywhere that exists. He is infinite in power. That is, he is capable of doing everything that is consistent with his own nature and person. He is infinite in gentleness and humility. He is infinite in knowledge and wisdom. He knows everything. This is the problem. We seek the will of God, and God shows us his will, but God's will is dependent on knowledge we don't have. And what we do is we judge what God is doing in our lives by what we know, and what we know is not even a small part of the picture. It's like that video that I mentioned a while ago. It's only a part of the picture, but God has the full picture. And if you want wisdom and knowledge, you better trust somebody that knows everything about it, instead of somebody that knows very little or nothing about it. Absolutely amazing when you think of God. Infinite in his personal and moral attributes, and we'll talk about these in a little bit. His love, his mercy, his grace, his righteousness, his justice, and his truth. Then we said that God is uniquely triune. He eternally exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is our Father, and God is our Savior, that's the Lord Jesus. God is our Helper, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. He is intensely personal. This is the wonderful thing about God. How could God love us if he wasn't a personal being? Emotion, intellect, and will. And God has the capacity to put his arms around us and to comfort us and to help us and to encourage us and to strengthen us. He is intensely personal. He is perfect in this Trinity with his in unity and in harmony. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, work together. The Son does nothing but what he sees the Father doing. And the Spirit glorifies the Son and leads us into the will of the Father. There's eternal fellowship in this Trinity, an eternal partnership in working together in creation itself and in the maintenance of creation. God is intensely personal in his capacity for love and mercy and grace and justice and righteousness. And man has been created in his image. We are personal beings because we are created in the image of a personal God, a tripartite God. Man is body, soul, and spirit. And God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a God of personal redemption. He is not only approachable, he is embraceable. God reaches out to man to bring him to himself. And somehow, God in his love reaches out to man to bring man to himself. God seeks the fellowship of man. Why and how? We cannot understand, but that is a part of the nature and the character of God. And as we concluded last week, God presides over a throne of compassion and favor. Now something technical, and I hope for about 5 minutes you will not pull down the curtains of your mind. I hope you will just go along with me for a little bit and some more difficult technical information, because I want to take this and give it a very practical application, wrap it up and bring it all together, if I might do this. I hope you have notes before you. I hope you have them. They will be very, extremely helpful to you today. God is uniquely holy. We're on page 5 of the notes. God is uniquely holy. The holiness of God is the eternal and absolute goodness, perfection, completeness, and compatibility of God in all of his essence. That's what he is, his attributes. That's how his essence is revealed. And in all that issues from him, God is absolutely good, perfect, complete in his desires, in his words, and in his works. There are ideas inherent in the holiness of God. Absolute completeness. There is nothing missing. You can add nothing to God. You can't subtract anything from God. He is absolutely complete and whole. Nothing he says, nothing he does can add to or take away from who and what he is. God is called a rock. Why is he called a rock? Because he is totally and absolutely stable. He does not change and he does not move. Nothing anyone else or anything else says or does can add to God or take away from who God is or take away from what God is. God is who he is, eternally complete and whole, and nothing is missing. There is no defect. There is nothing that you can add to him that is not present there that is good and right. We said that this involves his absolute goodness, goodness, goodness. I think that believers sometimes are convinced that God is really not absolutely good. But oh, listen, there is nothing within God that is not good. Nothing, nothing, nothing at all. Now, in holiness is the idea of absolute compatibility. That is, there's no division within God. There's no contradiction, no inconsistencies in the essence, the character, or the words or works of God, whether it's in his attributes or his essence. A while ago, and we'll come to this a little later, we talked about his love, his mercy, his grace, his righteousness, his justice, his truth. All of these are attributes of God. And there's nothing inconsistent within these attributes. There's absolute consistency. That is purity. Nothing ever changes. What God is never changes. Nothing about the person or character of God ever changes. He is eternally what he is. I am the Lord, I change not. Now listen, you are a believer. You know that if you have a husband or wife, they're changeable. If you have friends, they're changeable. If you have a boss at work, they're changeable. Every human being we know is changeable. They're here today and they're there tomorrow. And one of the things difficulties in relationships is predictability. Is predictability. We expect this today, but tomorrow it changes. But with God, it does not. And when God gives you the assurance of His love, that will never change from day to day. Never ever change, because it is who and what He is, which will never change. Absolute consistency. God doesn't love right today and abandon it tomorrow. He doesn't hate wickedness today and then accept it tomorrow. God never changes. Never changes. We always know what He thinks. We have it in His Word. We can count on it. We can depend on it. If God says, I love you and I'm for you, and He says that numbers of times in His Word, I am for you. God is for us. That believer never, 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 never changes. Are you in time of deep difficulty? God says, I am for you. Now that will never change. You say, but it doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters. What matters is who and what God is. It matters the holiness of God, the character of God is what assures your help, your deliverance, your comfort, your strength, your salvation. It's all tied up in the character of God. His holiness. Absolute consistency. And there's absolute coordination and cooperation within the triune God. What God says is always consistent with what He does. And what God does is always consistent with what He says. And all of these things are consistent with and proceed out of that which He is. Now I'm going to take that note and come back to that in just a moment. God's holiness is His absolute goodness or His absolute purity. There is no mixture with evil. God does not have a good day today and a bad day tomorrow. Nothing changes God, because God is above, transcendent above all things. He is uniquely uncreated. Nothing changes about Him. If God loved you yesterday, why did He love you yesterday? Because you were attractive? No. God loves us because John tells us, God is love. That is His nature, unchangeable. And if God loved you yesterday, He loves you today. He loves you. He will love you tomorrow. God says, I have loved you, talking to Israel, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness through all of your apostasies, I've tried to draw you back to myself, because my love has never ceased. Who and what I am has never changed. You have changed, but I'm trying to draw you back to myself. The love of God never changes. You say, but God has allowed all of these bad... Wait, whoa. Everything God causes to work together for good. A good God doesn't let evil win. And God is absolute goodness. God is not a loser. God is a winner. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Good will always triumph over evil. And God will always, always, always triumph over evil as it affects your life if you walk with Him and trust in Him. Always. Always. Easy it will not be. Difficult it will be. But we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God is great, not only because of His other attributes. We say God is great because He knows everything. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. But the reason He's great is because He's good. He's not good because He's great. He's great because He's good. Might does not make right, but right makes might. God is totally good and entirely without evil. Now, I want you to think with me about a very strange name or title of God. It's not in my notes. It's in the Old Testament. Moses was out in the wilderness, and if you have even a surface knowledge of Scripture, I think you know about Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush. And God talked to Moses, and God said, I want you to go, and I want you to lead my people Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, now I've got some problems, and he talked, of course, about his own inadequacies and deficiencies. But one of the questions that Moses asked God was this, now when I go to your people, Israel, when I go to Pharaoh, they're going to ask me, what's the name of this God that sent me? What am I going to tell them? What's your name? And he gave a very strange, peculiar answer. He said, I am that I am. God lives in an eternal present tense, an eternal present tense. Not subject to time, not subject to space. God is everything he needs to be at the same time. And everything that God is, God is. Now I want you to think a moment. What we do is we compartmentalize the attributes of God. We say God is love. Over here he's love. So we know that God loves believers and God loves right. And over here that God is justice and God is going to punish evil. Wait a minute now. How does God love us and save us from sin? Inherent within the love of God, completely saturated, that's the only word I know to use, God's love is completely saturated by his justice. These are not two different things. With God, I am what I am. God is at the same time just and is at the same time loving. And his love never violates his justice never violates his love. They both work together in perfect harmony. Each saturates the other. So God's love for you always, now get this, God's love for you always works within the framework of his justice. That's why God disciplines believers. That's why God allows disciplines in our lives and things we don't like. Because God's love always operates within the framework of his justice. It's fully saturated by his justice. But his justice is always fully saturated with his love. And what God allows for his justice in your life is saturated with the love of God to bless you. Are you listening? To help you, to lift you, to encourage you. How did God save us? Have you ever been born again? How did God save us? How is it possible? God's love brings Jesus Christ to the cross to die for our sins. God's love cannot operate outside of his justice. God cannot get you to heaven outside of his justice. Which means that God's justice has to be fully satisfied in order for his love to bring you to heaven. And that means that somebody has to pay for your sins. God cannot sweep your sins under the carpet, whether the past sins or present sins or future sins. God's justice always operates, saturated with God's love, and God's justice on the cross is the greatest manifestation of the justice of God in all the world. Hell is not the greatest manifestation of the justice of God. The cross of Jesus Christ is. Saturated with the love of God to draw you, the sinner, to himself. Everyone who believes in him will not perish. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be rescued from the judgment of their sins. The love of God is saturated with the justice of God. The justice of God is saturated with the love of God. And the justice of God in our lives is fully saturated, not only with the love of God, now you're listening. Have I got your attention? It's saturated fully with the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. And the wisdom and the knowledge of God are fully saturated with the love of God and with the justice of God. so that what God allows in your life is totally saturated with divine wisdom and love and justice and plan, divine plan and divine purpose. What's your name, God? I am that I am. Can you trust a God like this? Can you trust Him above your own intuition? Your own feelings? Your own evaluation? Your own wisdom? Your own knowledge? What a God! You can take every one of these attributes, and every one is saturated. Mercy is the compassion of God, and the justice of God, and the grace of God, and the righteousness of God, and the truth of God are all saturated with the compassion of God. They don't exist except that they are saturated with one another. They're all one in God. God isn't at one time merciful and in another time not merciful. What a God. He is uniquely holy. A God of absolute, infinite integrity. The arrogance of the pagans in our nation who intimate that they can create a society without God that will have order and justice in it. You cannot have justice without God. Social justice, racial justice, you can have no kind of justice without God. You can have no absolute truth without God. Any system of truth that excludes God ends up being a lie ultimately. God is the central focus of all of this. We cannot have freedom in America without God. There's no true human mercy without God. His holiness is the source, it's the fountain of all virtue and all goodness. And God is only known through His Son, Jesus Christ. This great God is a triune God. He's a redeeming God. He's a personal God. God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Come unto Me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This personal God that invites wicked sinners to Himself. We live outside of the holiness of God. We are an offense to the integrity of God. Our lives are an affront to the absolute infinite integrity of God. It constitutes us all sinners. And Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And the holiness and the righteousness and the mercy and the love of God were all fused into one. As the Son of God took our sins to judgment on the cross and came out and bore us to death and resurrection in Himself so that we might know God and be saved from our sins. What a God. A God who genuinely became human flesh, lived among us in order that we might know God and come to Him. In order that God might righteously save us, not religiously. Oh, listen, God does not save us religiously. He saves us righteously in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Where you are today, call on His name. Repent of your sin. Accept the fact that God is right in His person, in His character, in His works, in His word, and we human beings are wrong. Out of tune with what's right. And we need God. And call out, cry out in the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved from sin and receive the Son of God as your Savior today. Do it. And if you're a believer, listen, listen, listen. So many of us are sad and troubled today because God is not meeting our expectations. The real blessing of life is when we meet God's expectations. We're wearing the wrong shoe on the wrong foot, or the right shoe on the wrong foot. It doesn't work that way. God never, never, never chooses anything but good for His children. It may not be what you want, but if you wanted what was right, you would want what God has given you so that God's purposes might be filled full in your life. As a believer, we need to yield to the knowledge and the wisdom and the goodness of God in our lives. God is a good God. He's a holy God. He is nothing less than good. Nothing, nothing, nothing is missing from the hand of God in our lives that we should have. We need to seek His face. We need to repent of exalting our own personal wisdom, our own personal desires, in questioning the mercies of God in our lives. Oh, let's seek Him. And as the psalmist said, let's open our mouths wide that He might fill them today with His encouragement, His strength, His help, His joy. With the sin battles we are having, with the power of the cross of Jesus Christ to overcome them. He is an all-sufficient God. He's a rock. He's perfect. His ways are perfect. And we need to trust Him. Oh, that we might trust Him. I'd like us, and we'll put the words up just before the screen in just a moment, but I'd like for us all to sing together that marvelous, amazing little chorus. This kind of a God we can trust. And we learned this chorus months and months ago. I don't think we've sung it since we've been live streaming. But the words are, He cannot fail, for He is God. He cannot fail, He pledged His word. He cannot fail, He'll see you through. He cannot fail, He'll answer you. And we'll sing it through two times. Let's get the words up first so that we can sing. And then we'll have prayer following that.
He cannot fail, for He
this has happened in our culture. God is being measured by man. But really, God is the standard by which man is measured. And His goodness, His great goodness, is man's ultimate blessing. Father in heaven, thank You for Your word. Thank You for who and what You are. Thank You that we can trust You beyond ourselves, above ourselves, for every need of life. Now, as Your people call upon Your name, answer their prayers gloriously, as You promised. Your word can't fail. As sinners call upon You for salvation, gloriously save them, transform their lives by the regenerating power of Your Holy Spirit. As we look toward this week, fill us fresh with Your Holy Spirit, and may we walk with confidence and joy, and may we do so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, in His wonderful name. Amen.